What if a team of people showed up at your house, knocked on your front door, and in front of a live television camera, told you that you won the clearinghouse sweepstakes, and that for the rest of your life, you would receive $25,000 a month? Would you slam the door on them, go into your bedroom, and hide because you simply can't believe it? You won't believe it? Things like this don't happen to you? It's just too big to believe. Is something like this going on with Thomas the Apostle today in the Gospel? Why can't he believe? The other apostles tell him that they saw Jesus risen from the dead, but Thomas simply refuses to believe it. He needs more than just their word. Otherwise, he says he will not believe. Realize, of course, that belief here is not a simple, shallow word. Yes, it's the intellectual assent, the agreeing to the fact of the resurrection. It's deciding to believe with your mind that it happened. It's subordinating your intellect to that truth. But biblical belief is not simply intellectually agreeing with the fact that it happened. Biblical belief also means obeying God. So if we say we believe, then that also means we allow the impact of what we believe. We obey Him. So belief means intellectually accepting the truth of the resurrection, but it also means ordering our lives out of obedience to the one who rose. Finally, it means trusting God. So you have intellectual assent, obedience, and trust. It means trusting God. If Jesus gets through the worst phenomenon any human being can experience, death itself, could he not get us through any trial this side of death, and then even get us through death itself, to bring us into heaven where we experience the resurrected life? This is all just a sidebar on belief. Belief is intellectual knowledge plus obedience and trust, all three. Thomas refuses to believe, but with belief meaning all that, we might better appreciate Thomas's hesitation. Belief is a whole life changer. So Thomas refuses to believe, but why? Is it simply that he doesn't believe this could happen to Jesus? That a man could die and then rise from the dead by God's power? You can imagine one of the other apostles saying, "But Thomas, you heard Jesus say exactly this with his own mouth, that he would die and rise again on the third day." Perhaps there are people we know today who simply don't believe that resurrection back to earthly life could happen by God's power. There's no science that says it can happen. Of course, it's a withholding of the natural laws of science. It's a miracle by God's power. So there's no science that says it can happen. And this resurrection of Jesus happened some 2,000 years ago, so we don't have anyone alive who witnessed it and can tell us about it, except the living church, which was utterly transformed by the fact of the resurrection. The church throughout the New Testament writings, the church wrote the New Testament, and then beyond in her tradition through the centuries, handed down to us the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church has never died. And if you run into anybody who thinks that this is just a story the church made up at some point, that theory does not work. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, how could the early church apostles and the whole community around him claim that he did? When everybody knew where his tomb was, when everybody saw him laid in that tomb. You can't make that up, especially when you are right there only days after the event. Somehow, somewhere, somebody will leak the fact that it's a lie, even if the apostles had tried to steal his body away and hide it somewhere. And that's the story Scripture tells us the Jewish leaders tried to spread. Maybe somebody could make up a story a couple hundred years later, but a made-up story that big just wouldn't work when you are right there on the scene in the very days you are claiming the resurrection happened. Still a greater proof, I believe, is the following. How do you explain that these apostles, most of whom out of fear left Jesus' side during his imprisonment and passion, how do you explain that they became bold proclaimers of his death and resurrection, even to the point of themselves dying as martyrs? The church today exists only because those apostles started preaching the resurrection. That's why we're here today. And most of the apostles died for it. St. John, in our first reading, is the only apostle not to have died a martyr's death. But even he, in our second reading today, is exiled on an island for preaching the truth of Jesus' resurrection. One of the greatest proofs of the resurrection is that fearful apostles became bold evangelists proclaiming that same resurrection. And again, that's the only way you can explain the church. And the church is still existing today as proof of the resurrection, which was preached by the apostles immediately after it happened. Something absolutely life-changing happened to those apostles to put such self-sacrificing fire into their hearts. So really, it does not work to say that the resurrection of Jesus was an impossibility or that it was a story made up by the early church. Too many facts contradict this. Could it be that in Thomas's mind, since he witnessed the death of Jesus with all of his senses, he saw him, he heard him as he suffered, the death and suffering of Jesus was so tangible for Thomas? Could it be that for Thomas, since the death was so tangible, the proof of resurrection had to be just as tangible? So hearsay from his buddies was not equal to the very painful way Thomas took in the death? Or could it be that Thomas can't believe because he can't give himself to the whole new life that follows upon belief in the resurrection? Is there pride in Thomas? If Jesus really rose from the dead, everything looks different. Our sufferings, our successes, everything becomes relative to the resurrected life that we are all called to live. Even the greatest earthly joys can't compare to the ecstasy of heaven for all eternity. The greatest sorrows no longer immobilize us. Belief in the resurrection can give us stamina to choose love, even within the darkest hour. What exactly is it that keeps Thomas from believing? And is there anything that keeps you and me from believing in the resurrection more deeply and living the full obedience and trust that follow? Another question. Why does Jesus find it so important to come to Thomas, one mere man, after Thomas has doubted the resurrection? Imagine Jesus explaining this to Thomas in words such as the following. Thomas, you hesitated to believe in my resurrection, but I know all that your belief can mean for yourself and for the church. If you believe in me, your life will reach heights it could never reach otherwise. You will touch heaven, even while you are on earth, in ways that you would never be able to do without faith in my resurrection. Belief in my resurrection will lead you to personal holiness, which is the goal for every human life. Furthermore, belief in my resurrection will make you an instrument transforming the world around you with my grace. The whole continent of India will know my name because of your preaching. Thomas, I want you to believe so that all of this glory will result. Imagine words like this to Thomas from Jesus. Jesus likewise is invested in your belief and mine. Let's ask him to make resurrection power as tangible as we need it to be in order to give a deeper yes to him. Let's ask him to give us the grace to comprehend how our whole life flows from the power of the resurrection. Let's tell Jesus from the bottom of our hearts that as we touch his wounded yet risen body in the Eucharist today, we hope this moment will be the cause for his greater glory from now on.